Welcome to my family. This is entirely appropriate.
I love candy.
Oh. What do you mean? There's two books in the middle. Zip. You'll see them. Yeah. I need those books.
Oh, God.
Oops.
They're heavy.
Yes, they are.
Oh, you left your candy in there? Don't you?
I have the whole
thing. Thank you. So, need I say more?
Probably not.
Any of you who've been to my house have seen what Radha looks like. And Ratna is rich and over the top. Ratna is just what you need and too fucking much. So we can agree to that, I think. please continue to pass the candies around.
Pass it around.
In going over this material myself, I noticed some really interesting things, which I hope you all have noticed yourselves, which is that some of these beautiful families are exactly what you're already doing. Ratna personally can be enriching and a kind of a little bit hoardy.
What?
Hoardy.
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 Hoardy is also possible.
Okay.
Really horny?
Horny is also possible. horny. Horny. Any of the above. But the sort of richness and fecundity of Ratna can also manifest as kind of this kind of greed of wanting to gather, wanting to have collections, wanting to have beautiful things all the time that are you. So there's a lot of, like in any of these beautiful families, there's the sort of more enlightened version and the more, you could say, well, we've used your type of suffering, and Ratna indeed can be suffocating. It's one of its manifestations. I don't know if you've ever had somebody who was so nice to you that you felt like running. Or who was so interested in you that you felt gobbled up and sort of you were consumed by their energy. And at first maybe you felt really, really kind of intriguing and wonderful to be admired or seen. I really see you. And then you start feeling a little funky because it feels so good and there's a kind of a twist to it. So that's one of the downfalls of the Ratna family, is that all that kind of generosity and richness and jewel-like light and color can be actually suffocating and territorial and become ownership and prideful of its manifestation. And indeed, the realm is the Hungry Ghost realm. that represents the Ratna family. And the Hungry Ghost realm, fundamentally, there is never enough of anything in this world to make you feel satisfied, sated. You simply cannot get enough. You've gone shopping, you've picked out the most incredible blah, blah, blah. You've brought it home, and that emptiness, it's right there all over again. So Hungry Ghost is kind of the sort of darker qualities of the realm of Ratna.
Can I add to that? Would it also be the desire to achieve, not just to have?
Sure. Although we are also talking, all these families overlap, and the karma family very much needs to achieve. It's sort of driven by the need to achieve. Ratna is much more driven by the need to have, or it actually, it's enriching. It actually enriches itself, which is the neurotic aspect of it. But environmentally, I'm sorry.
It's like, I don't know if you've heard of the big molasses spill in Boston in the early 1900s. Yeah. That's like so wrong. Huge vat of molasses that broke and poured, moved through the whole town of Boston, covering everything.
Drowning people
in sugar.
Sweetness.
That's very
wrong. That actually happened.
It really happened.
It really happened.
It was a disaster.
Can you imagine what, like these huge tank just blew? And it was down by the north end, I believe.
Yeah.
It was in the north end. And drowned people, horses, the whole thing. So that's a metaphor that is commonly used to describe the kind of uncomfortable side of Ratna. Mm-hmm. Friends who are driven to give you gifts and you start feeling uncomfortable because there's some imbalance that's being expressed. Mm-hmm. But what I also noticed about this was on the light side, you have the behavior is one of generosity. And the image of a traditional image of Ratna is a tree has been in the forest, it has fallen down, boom, and slowly over time it decays and becomes home for insects and animals, and things are growing on it, and little mold and fungus is growing, and mushrooms, and so that it's offered without, it isn't a it didn't plan to do it, but its fundamental nature was to offer to maintain and support the environment around it. So that's a fundamental generosity of Ratna we're talking about. And its element is earth, of course. The earth doesn't say, please, you've got to mow me today. It just grows. It doesn't demand that it is paid attention to.
And it supports everything.
It supports everything. I was thinking, in fact, that it shares a lot of similarities with Buddha family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
But you're very much thinks in terms of the whole. Ratna just wants to make sure everything is connected, and that's an interest to make, to have that connectivity, to feel everything's filled up. So the downside of that, or the hungry ghost side, is just total poverty. So sometimes people who are all decked out like this don't feel like they have anything. They're absolutely totally bereft of any possible value or any possible meaning. It's all just trying to get it, take it
that's
on,
hungry,
you know, fill up the space, take it on and wear it. So there's never enough, right? Because there's always you could never find anything that you could call yourself your own at that point.
You need to consume in order to exist.
You can't wear just one bracelet.
Correct. Correct. I almost put on all that stuff too.
I mean, she could have worn more rings. That's the only thing I'd say.
Well, every finger. I tried. It's just none of them fits me anymore because they big old fingers now. But I tried. So and you see people like this.
So is the enlightened side sort of dropping the it needs to be about me? And it really is giving, but yes. It's not about how much everyone should love me because look how much I do.
Totally, there's no ego involved. Is there any ego involved in the apple tree that year after year gives us her fruit?
Right.
And it just doesn't.
It makes me think, too, of the whole network. What's the word for that under the earth? Of the fungus rhizomes that spread out.
Yes.
What's it? Mycelium?
Mycelium, yeah.
That can go for miles. Like, this is a network, and I was reading about these trees.
Read that, too.
That's amazing. The trees, they sense who's around them, and they send them support, and there's this interconnectivity.
Not just their own species.
No.
The forest is mutually supportive.
Yeah.
It's
community.
It's community, and it's a bigger
community.
It's the whole.
It's the whole.
And I really love also the wisdom is of equanimity, which is in keeping with that, making sure that everyone has, everything is equal.
Yeah. So the opposite of that is what?
Hoarding.
Well, no, the opposite of equanimity.
Exactly.
Bias.
Really
biased. Really having, it's like, this is how it is. There's no other way. You can't take anything in because this is the only way it is. That's another aspect of claustrophobia that brought under the grip because they just feel like they know what's right so much.
Well, pride. It's right here. Pride. As soon as I get involved, I've screwed it up. It's fundamentally. Which is what we were interestingly talking about the artist, that there's art that's produced, which is free, which is spun. It generates itself almost if you're sort of in the zone, but the minute you stop and go, me, the whole thing falls apart, the ownership of it. So, and that's the pride part, which is very damaging to creativity.
I used to think of that as being channeling the muse, but what I realized was it was giving up the ego. So you're not actually bringing something into you.
Right.
You're letting go of something. And then it just...
And then it makes it look what I did kind of secondary, doesn't it?
Right.
Oddly enough, even though artists require that communication in order to exist... Just staying alone in your studio doing something that's driving you mad. At some point, you need this communication.
I have one piece of art like that, and it feels so weird when people compliment me on it. Because it's like, I didn't do it. it just feels like I wasn't even a part of that.
Well, in a sense, this is what we're talking about. What we talk about, the conduit, and what we talk about in terms of ourselves as teachers, that we teach, it's Dharma without... credentials, that we're teachers, it's our job not to leave and go, God, I was so brilliant tonight. Right? I mean, we don't...
It's not about you.
It isn't about us.
Right.
But we do know when we screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Truthfully, you do know when you're off the mark. Well, any of you who've taught knows when you're off the mark.
Pastor Rinpoche would berate himself when he felt like he was off.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's quite the
full
of teaching. Patro Rinpoche is angry at himself for not giving a...
Who's the
a good
one
talk.
Who wrote silly old... described himself as a silly old man, or... Do you know what I'm referring to?
Something Ben?
Yes.
What's his name? Ben? Yeshe Ben, or no? It wouldn't be wisdom. It would be something else. Anyways. But he was always saying, like, he when they would pass out the food, in his mind, he was like, he hoped he got the biggest piece of meat. And then he would punish himself. And he would say, no, you can't have any.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Yes, yes. Yes. Is it yes,
Shaitan? No.
Anyway, we'll look at it.
So,
are you saying that people fall into one of these buckets, or people are generally can be all these buckets?
All of these manifest
in each of us.
In each of us, but some sort of are more our primary delivery. Like, there's no doubt that my primary delivery is Ratna. Although when I was younger, it was much more Padma, much more seductive. That was my.
So we can be a combination of all these.
Oh, you are. Indeed, you are.
Yeah, you're all. And, but there's predominant ones, and then there's ones that are sort of de-emphasized. It's hard to be all that stuff simultaneously.
I think they're called exits.
Exit is kind of like your way of sort of like. Exit is a way of sort of just doing, getting, taking. It's how you sort of get out of being. Just solidly one.
You soften that.
Yeah, you sort of have this little side on thing on the side you do that's kind of like, could also be a subdominant kind of thing.
Or,
I don't want to be so much this one, so I do something.
Yeah, or it can be, for me, I'm mostly karma, so there can be a real drive and it can be kind of harsh, you know? So the other way that works with that is Padma, where you can still get what you want, but you can be nice about it.
That's great. If anyone's seen that.
That's great. Thanks, Emily, for telling us.
Now you'll all be careful, right?
I have a friend who's very similar, and she wears bracelets all the way up her arm. And one thing about her is that she's got a lot of problems in her life, and she never changes the way she sort of goes about things. She's very rigid, and she's always right. The way she does something is always the right way, and you can't talk her into a different.
She's very fixed.
She'll complain about something in her life, and then you'll say, "Well, why don't you try this?" "No, I can't because this is this." Yeah, she's fixed and rigid.
Well, Earth would be fixed. I mean, there's a fixed quality of Earth. It's a solidity, and there's an aspect of that. It's not like wind, you know, where there's movement. And some of these other energies have a different quality. That's how I would describe it.
Michael and Emily loaned me a book called In the Realm of the Hungry Ghost. And it's about addiction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You finish it one day, it's so thick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it, it makes me think of the fixed quality. If I talk to people, they said, "Oh, I can't do that because of this." "I can't, oh, no, I can't do that because of this." And there's like 1,000 reasons why nothing will work.
Yeah, that's
so
fantastic.
It's like just remarkable. It's like the cold start of like, "Oh, God, right.
So it's this movie, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
The witch in the forest. She's kind of a rotten one, isn't she?
I don't know.
Yeah. Her hut is kind of an amazing collection of brilliance when you arrive there, and it actually feels pretty warm to get into her presence.
Sure. I mean, Ratna is. There's a reason why we fundamentally feel well. You know, you can when there's an equanimity with Ratna, you feel welcomed in. When there isn't, you just feel like the place is the thing versus the engagement versus the relationships.
Well, another aspect would be fixed mind, where everything basically set in place, and you can't, like, you can only follow a series of very specific coordinates to please the person you're with, because they are very determined about what is acceptable and what's not, you know. The opposite of equanimity, as they say, mm-hmm. is this kind of notion of prejudice or bias, which is just basically that's how it is.
A rigidity.
Mm-hmm.
a rigidity?
Yeah, my way or the highway kind of thing. I mean, that could be an expression of it. Not all Ratnas have that. She has more pragma. She's more willing to accommodate.
She's softened.
That's why it's fun to watch her do this.
Yeah. Instead
of heading for the door. You know?
I actually wanted to point out that the symbol is the jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, that's fascinating, because I made jewelry for years and years and years and uh-huh. sold it. And I only stopped when I couldn't, because of various illnesses, couldn't move my wrist properly to do it. And so I thought how beautifully mm-hmm. accurate this was.
Well, that's the meaning of Ratna in Sanskrit, jewel.
Jewel, cool. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
If your game, in this text, is one of the most, one of the richest descriptions of Ratna I've ever seen.
What is the text?
This is the Tantric Path of Indestructible. You have this, I think.
Volume 3 of the Profound Treasury.
Of the Profound Treasury.
No, number 3 is. Is that
number 5? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah. The Bhajriya.
Right.
But since this is available to everybody, I thought...
So you're allowed to read it.
You're allowed to read it. And
it's a public text. I mean...
I know, I'm kidding.
So, if somebody would be willing to read it?
Okay.
It's actually just that one page, I believe.
The next Buddha family in the south of the mandala is Ratna, which means jewel, gem, or precious stone. The deity of the Ratna family is Ratnasambhava.
Mm-hmm.
Ratna is a personal and real sense of expanding yourself and enriching your environment. You make yourself at home with collections of all kinds of richness and wealth. It is expansion, enrichment, plentifulness. Such plentifulness could also have problems and weaknesses. In the neurotic sense, the richness of Ratna manifests as the klesha of greed and as being completely fat or extraordinarily ostentatious beyond the limits of your sanity.
Whoa.
You expand constantly, open heedlessly, and indulge yourself to the level of insanity. It is like swimming in a dense lake of honey and butter. When you coat yourself in this mixture of butter and honey, it is very difficult to remove. You cannot just remove it by wiping it off, but you have to apply all kinds of cleaning agents such as cleanser and soap to loosen its grasp.
It's the
molasses
effective. Very effective.
In the positive expression of the Ratna family, the principle of richness is extraordinary. You feel very rich and plentiful, and you extend yourself to your world personally, directly, emotionally, psychologically, even spiritually. You're extending constantly, expanding like a flood or an earthquake. There's a quality of spreading, shaking the earth, and creating more and more cracks in it. That is the powerful expansiveness of Ratna.
Can you just hold for one sec, and then you'll continue?
Okay, yes.
I just want you to notice, it isn't like, oh, nice earth that's completely stable, and I can mm-hmm. completely assume is always going to be exactly the same. That there's a movement, and it's not, it cracks the earth, and it changes. So that's an interesting thing to note, I think.
Is that a cue?
Continue.
Okay. The enlightened expression of Ratna is called the wisdom of equanimity because Ratna can include everything in its expansive environment. Thus, Ratna is associated with the element of earth. It is like a rotting log that makes itself at home in the country. Such a log does not want to leave its home ground. It would like to stay, but at the same time it grows all kinds of mushrooms and plants and allows different animals to nest in it. That lazy settling down and making yourself at home and inviting other people to come in and rest as well is Ratna. Sounds good. That sounds better than the molasses.
Well, it's still sticky. Sticky aspect.
Does anybody have any thoughts? Because I have yet more that you could read.
I don't know.
There's a dampness. Part of the problem, part of the downside, I think, for whatnot, is dampness.
What do you mean?
Why?
I mean, I think just like physical, but also, like, in dampness, you collect everything.
And that fungus could turn out to be black mold.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. Right. Sure. And earth is vast. Anything
and generous.
Generous. Anything can grow on it.
Yeah.
So why would a rotten person marry a good person?
Are you asking me personally? Because I did. Maybe because we're equal in our... There's some equanimity in there, actually. Well, there's some equanimity in it, right? Because they both deal with space, but in very different ways, now that you mention it.
And there is a generosity in both, I think.
Uh-huh. Also. Exactly. Yeah. What I discovered was that his spaciousness wasn't the enemy. It actually meant that anything could happen in it.
He gives you space.
Right, which was miraculous.
So two things over here, I think, Muffy and
I wanted you to go back to the reading. What was that? What did that mean about the earth being cracked?
Well, could you
get that?
Could that be read again?
Only on your webpage. Is it marked?
Which one? Yeah. Actually, you maybe pulled it out already.
Yeah.
It's lost to the winds of time.
You brought it up, so what did it mean to you?
Well, I'd like it to be read again, if possible.
Okay, we'll find it.
Give me a hint.
Look in the back of the book for a rock.
Change happens.
Growth. Look under the
thing.
Yeah.
Choose the index. No, that's so clever.
It's either under Buddha families or rotten. I think it's under Buddha families. And it's the farthest one along.
That could be really interesting.
So from my interpretation of that is that in order for things to be, it's like the volcano, in order for earth to be created, it cracks open.
Images of Guatemala, the earth just splitting in steam.
We can find it.
Or Hawaii, I mean, the magma bursting up, that's cracking the earth open.
Yeah.
Earth shifting and
sealing it up,
making room for things to change. It's accommodating. I mean, that's part of the earth thing. It's actually providing.
We're just human-centered, and we assume that everything should go the way we need it to go so that we can put up our shopping mall and our houses on the beach and so on and so forth, right? But the earth doesn't have an allegiance to, I don't think, to any of its
Go back to volcanism where, you know, the notion of magma turning into lava and then lava becoming this incredibly rich bed for all this florid growth.
Well, exactly.
In the volcanic islands, they're always really, you know, full of all kinds of stuff, right? All kinds of different plants that are very unique to the place, and they attract birds and you know, animals flourish there.
Did you find it? Well, I think that's what it's referring to. And they can't find it, but there's another section to read if you'd like. May I ask you to do so? It's from here to there. It ends up there.
There's the five wisdoms.
Okay. Ratna is associated with pride and earth, solidity, mountains, hills, pyramids, buildings. I am completely secure. I am what I am. It is a very proud way of looking at oneself. This means that one is afraid to loosen up, is continually piling up defenses, building a fortress. Equally, Ratna,
that's your friend with the bracelets.
Yeah. Ratna is the wisdom of equanimity. Equanimity?
Equanimity.
Which is all-pervading. Whether you construct buildings out of earth or whether you simply leave the earth as it is, it is the same thing. The earth remains as it is. You do not feel defeated or threatened at all. If you are a proud person, you feel yourself constantly challenged by the possibility of failure and defeat. In the enlightened mind, the anxiety of maintaining oneself is transmuted into equanimity. There is still awareness of the solidity and stability of earth, but there is no fear of losing it. Everything is open, safe, and dignified. There is nothing to fear. Ratna is related to the south and autumn, fertility, richness, and the sense of continual generosity. When fruit is ripe, it automatically falls to the ground, asking to be eaten up. Ratna has this kind of giving away quality. It is luscious and open with the quality of mid-morning. It is yellow, connected with the sun's rays. Where Vajra is associated with crystal, Ratna is gold, amber, saffron. It has a sense of depth, real earthiness rather than texture, whereas Vajra is purely texture, a crispy quality rather than fundamental depth. Ratna is so ripe and earthy, it is like a gigantic tree which falls to the ground and begins to rot.
There you go.
Mushrooms all over it. It is a log in which animals might nest. Anybody read The Mitten to their kids?
The Mitten?
This book called The Mitten. We're all, this is the mitten lying in the forest floor, and all these animals come into it and live in it.
Oh, there you go. No, I didn't know that.
It was a rotten mitten.
Yeah. Rotten mitten. It's a log in which animals might nest. Its color begins to turn yellow and its bark to peel off, revealing an interior which is very rich and very solid. If you were to attempt to remove this log in order to use it as part of a garden arrangement, it would be impossible because it would crumble and fall apart. It would be too heavy to carry away.
So there we have all our metaphors yet again.
Yeah.
All our very useful metaphors.
Yeah.
We found that's here, but you had a question.
Yeah.
Personally speaking, I know that before having children, I had a very strong karma way of interacting with a tinge of Vajra.
I'm shocked.
And
just a little shine of Vajra.
And what was interesting was children come along, especially infants, and there's a whole lot of Padma in your life.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's also very damp.
Well, but it's this, it's the clinging,
yeah,
and the need,
right,
and constant need for attention.
And communication and relationship.
And that can be terrifying to a karma.
Yeah.
Because they're much more about conquering, you know, and competing. And and I think it's interesting because one of the, as I'm looking through these, is how the various families interact with each other.
Uh-huh.
And how some, like I can see karma getting along a little better with Vajra, but not so much with Padma and or any of the, you know, Ratna particularly too. And I know that might be just myself, aspects of myself projecting that onto this.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
we have all these things, yeah, and they can all be,
yeah,
working together.
I had to develop karma to have be a parent.
Yeah.
But to get,
well,
stuff done.
Well, and that's right, kind of, I think that's kind of what happens,
right,
is something comes along in your life, like children, who you can't escape from, and it forces you, it forces you to let go of some aspects of yourself and really begin to embrace this part of
yeah,
this little being who has aspects that up to that point you would push away and you can't, and or choose not to anyway, and then that opens you, I think, and begins, for me, began to question my way of looking at the world and my interactions and the competitive, pugnacious paranoia. Yeah, struggling aspect. I was just thinking, I could totally come in here as my 23-year-old self, and,
yeah,
and you would, you yeah, go, that's karma.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's interesting to also the relationship between the various extremes. If you were to take the extreme versions of these and watch how they interact with each other, I think it would be interesting.
and different stages of life. Mm-hmm. You know, that you're like presenting a whole, to
just whatever.
There could be a whole theatrical display of this interesting party being held by the various families.
I was just thinking about somebody looked in right
now. So I thought that too. Like somebody walked by and would go, this is actually not our guru.
This is meditation. Maybe I am.
Somebody's standing there going, holy okay, shit. Backing away. Wait till the Kool-Aid comes out.
It's weird. Same kind of
therapy.
That's lovely.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Maybe you should walk outside like that.
I'm too tired to take it all off. I'm just going to drive home like this, right?
The battery pack that's like strangling you.
Yeah, exactly.
But I got to have my beautiful thing.
You know, my daughter takes the Christmas lights with her everywhere she goes.
Well, I have them in my house too, yeah.
But you're, you know, like, does she wear them like this?
And she's got some chili peppers.
Yeah. Actually, we have a mutual friend who has chili peppers and grapes lighted up. And it's, she's Italian. And it's absolutely perfect. And it's beautiful. And yeah, so. So there's no, I think we were talking last week about, there is no sense of there's a hierarchy, like there's a better Buddha family to be a member of. I think that's really important. I think in our community in the early days, there was a real premium on being a Vajra.
Yes. I think in certain son of a bitch communities, type. There still are.
Yeah.
I know that would prove my objection.
Yeah. 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 Did you? Yeah. So... But we know better now. And we're actually, our job is to get out of our own way and be of some use. So all of this is sort of.
So one thing I think is really interesting is the time of day. Yeah. So with Ratna, you can really,
karma time.
You're moving through the day and the sun is getting higher, which would be, you know, the stronger warm rays, and there's more light, and it's sort of high morning, you could say.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting. And then the temperature is warm, not hot. Like Padma has more heat. Yeah. You know, because fire is the element of Padma. Mm-hmm. So that warmth. Well, fire would not be so great for the earth. So that warmth is important for the earth, for things to grow, and that sun to make things grow.
And it turns out fire is really important too.
Yeah.
As awful as that is.
Well, to burn things and then it definitely is important for some aspects of the earth.
So we have hit the golden hour. Unless there are more.
Was there anything
questions?
Else on? We found the passage here.
Oh, did you want to read that?
Is there something else that you
so
want?
About the,
what do we have?
There's a quality of spreading, shaking the earth, and creating more and more cracks in it. That is a powerful expansiveness of rock.
Expansiveness?
Yeah.
The earth gets bigger.
Mountains. Like just what Michael said, the volcano makes lava, and then it takes long time and birth. But I like the idea that it's sort of the antithesis of what we think of as stable earth. It's always going to be exactly where I put it, and all it takes is an earthquake for you to recognize that isn't so. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
It's not just feel the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
It's primordial. It's a primordial energy. Mm-hmm. All of these are primordial energies.
Well, that's the idea. Like we looked at this notion of a prism, how a prism breaks up white light into five colors. The light itself, you wouldn't call it white, it's just light beyond color designation. But then these colors spread out from the prism in the spectrum of primary colors. And that denotes for each of these families.
Well, I think think you now have been introduced to Ratna.
To Ratna?
Pretty thoroughly.
It's funny, you know, what I was just thinking is that the lights and stuff are sort of this distraction, which is a way of having people look at you without looking at you.
Mm. Oh. I'm going to have to just...
You know, like, look at me, but don't see who I really am. See this.
See all the glitter.
Like, I'm pulling all this attention, but I don't really want you to know me.
Oh, you mean in the sort
something
of...
Something superficial there.
Yeah. In the Ratna quality that is sort of the neurotic aspect of Ratna.
Like, sure. You know, it's all about me, but not really, because I don't really like
the show.
That would be the poverty underneath all of this.
Yeah, that it's like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to listen to Erica, but oh, there's these lights. The lights are really interesting. I'll just look at the lights.
But don't forget this.
But they're not as interesting to me as the lights.
So I just want to mention that next week, the 21st, is the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. Joseph will be here. We'll have a period of meditation, probably the first 25 minutes or something like that. And then we'll be doing a La Song, if it's nice. We could do it outside. And we'll read the Aspiration of Samantabhadra. Actually, we would need lights. We might do that here inside.
Okay.
We can all wear lights. We can bring our candles.
Oh, did we have the idea that people could pick up family if they want to and dress for it?
Yes,
and present themselves.
If you want, if you're interested in, if you thought about the different families and you have an affinity for one, maybe, or two, you could wear those colors if you wish, or any
color.
You could dress up in anything.
Color.
We could have a color display. So up to you. But then we'll have Joseph will kind of wrap up all the teachings that we've been doing this spring up to now on the wisdom of the three yanas. So we'll wrap
that's
up.
The one after
next week will be all of that.
Is the last class?
No, there'll be one more after that, which I'm not sure what we'll do. Okay. So there'll be one on the 28th as well.